Welcome to East Daily's Midstream Edge podcast, where we connect the molecules in the ground to the money that moves oil and gas markets. I'm your host, Shireen Lakhani, and today I have with me one of our top crude analysts, Matt Lewis. How's it going?
Good. It's a lovely morning in late May here in Denver, and there's a blanket of snow on the ground.
So, how did that happen?
I don't know. It's a late snow. Sometimes you get those in Denver, but this is pretty late even for Denver standards.
Yeah, I was coming out of my driveway this morning, and all the trees on either side were covering almost the entire driveway. It was ridiculous.
Yep, lots of down trees on the way into the office.
Yeah. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about a new product that we've developed for our clients. It's called the Crude Hub Model. It basically analyzes takeaway constraints out of every major crude hub in the country and Western Canada. But what's really cool about this product is it's our ability to forecast basis blowouts and, you know, to figure out whether the forward curve for a particular spread is accurately pricing in that blowout. So basically, we're giving producers a heads up that, hey, you should be looking at hedging your barrels or securing some long-term contracts. But we're also able to tell midstreams, you know, that there's opportunity for new projects out of XYZ Basin. So today I was hoping we could take a trip up to North Dakota, where I'm sure the outsides look quite similar still, but just to kind of check out what's happening with Bakken basis. So I know you wrote a slapshot recently about Clearbrook and Guernsey being at significant risk of blowouts in the back half of this year. So kind of give me a high level of what's the dynamic at play over there.
Yeah, so I mean, the dynamic isn't too complicated. You have growing production in the Bakken, which we forecast to grow about 150,000 barrels a day of oil growth, exit rate 18 to exit rate 19. I would note that producers have guided to less growth than that. I would keep in mind that they did that based on a $50 oil budget, and we're significantly above that today. And also, producers on current year guidance tend to sandbag a little bit. So if we look at last year, they significantly outperformed what they guided to. We expect the same this year. And the boost in oil prices to plus $60 or $60 plus puts them in a position where we think exit rate growth will be probably around 150,000 barrels a day. So that's piece number one. Piece number two is the pipelines are starting to run short on capacity, and not just it's important to not just look at the nameplate capacity of these pipelines. Some of these pipelines, for various reasons downstream, economic reasons downstream, aren't actually able to take as much as their nameplate capacity. So I'm talking specifically about the two northbound lines out of the Bakken, which there's a Plains pipeline and an Enbridge pipeline that run north. Those have, over the last year, not taken anywhere close to their nameplate capacity. Even in 4Q18, where spreads blew out significantly in the Bakken, and you would think that pipelines would have been completely full, those northbound lines still didn't take anything close to their nameplate capacity, less than 50% of their nameplate capacity. So when we put this all together and say, hey, the pipeline capacity isn't what the nameplate capacity is out of the basin, it's actually significantly lower than that, probably about I'd say 125 to 150,000 barrels a day below that. You put yourself in a situation where if we look today, there's probably only 70,000 barrels a day or 80,000 barrels a day of pipeline space out of the Bakken open. In a situation where we have production increasing 150,000 barrels a day, you can see why that may be a problem. And those incremental extra barrels will need to be moved by rail facilities in the future.
Yeah, that makes sense. So increasing back in production, the pipeline constraints northbound, and those northbound constraints are largely because the main line is oversubscribed, correct?
Yeah,
in
so
Canada.
It could be a physical reason. I've heard mixed thoughts on this, that there's physical constraints, that when the Canadian mainline, Enbridge's Canadian mainline, is in apportionment, sometimes barrels can't get on that mainline. I've also heard people say that they can get those light Bakken barrels on the mainline, but the economics don't make sense when the mainline's in apportionment. So those are the factors you're dealing with. I'll admit it's not well understood why you're not able to load more barrels onto those northbound lines. But just looking over the last year, that has not happened. They have not, even in times when the Bakken blew out to double digits, double-digit discounts below TI, you still had those barrels not get shipped on those northbound lines.
Now, going southbound out of the Bakken, we have one of the most economic options would be DAPL. And DAPL was supposed to expand to 570. They said there was running, it was running at 540 in Q1, but running at 565 in 4Q of last year. So some room there, it seems, but they also announced that they're not going to expand it again until mid or late 2020. So talk about that kind of dynamic there.
So this is a little surprising to us, because from our viewpoint, the basin needs more egress capacity. Not only does it need more egress capacity, it needs the most economic egress capacity, and that is DAPL. DAPL's rates at anywhere from the high fives to the low $7 range per barrel gets you to the Gulf Coast. It is significantly the most economic option out of the Bakken. So not being able to expand that to late 2020 is a surprise, not just because we think the pipes are going to fill, but potentially you could expand it earlier and potentially steal volumes from other pipes because you are that much more economic. So the late 2020 timeframe is interesting, and it does potentially add some risk to that expansion. We do believe that it's possible that they may have to go back to some of these state PUCs and ask for more permitting. So we went back and looked at the applications they made for the original Dakota Access Pipeline, and they quoted the final capacity always at 570,000 barrels a day. So we aren't regulatory experts. We haven't looked deeply in to see if they actually have to re-permit, but it seems possible given that timeline, a surprisingly long timeline to get just pump stations online, that they may have to go back to the states and re-permit or something along those lines, which puts significant risk at even a late 2020 timeframe in our mind, given the headwinds, the regulatory headwinds this project had the first time around.
Now, if Bakken Basin does blow out by the end of this year, which is the call that we're making, and DAPL is not an option till late next year, how long do we see this constraint lasting?
So what's important to note here is rail. You do have rail out of the Bakken. You have ample rail loading capacity out of the Bakken, which should subdue huge blowouts out of the basin. The problem you have is, number one, there you can't just snap your fingers and have the train show up. There isn't just slack train capacity that is just waiting there for more barrels. This has to be scheduled months ahead of time, typically. So it's very possible that we start to get into the second half of 2019 and you run out of pipeline space and the storage begins to fill and you see significant discounts to try to get that rail to clear that market. Now, in the longer term, over the course of several months, the rail will be able to clear that market. The question is, what price does the Bakken need to price itself to have rail clear the market? If we look today at the -$1 to -$2 discount at Clearbrook, which you can use as a proxy for the Bakken, it's not perfect, but you can use that as a proxy. That's an economic price to move rail. So you can take the -$2 price in the Bakken compared to TI. You can ship it to one of the coasts, and you're competing with a Brent price. So the wide WTI to Brent spread, which is about $9 today, does support the Bakken price because you can clear the market. You're competing with Brent, which is $9 higher than WTI. The issue going forward is you have a lot of Permian pipes coming online in the back half of 2019 as well. The Permian today is sending anywhere from, let's call it 750,000 barrels a day to 1 million barrels a day up to Cushing. Those flows will shift when those Gulf Coast Permian pipelines come online, and you'll actually take pressure off of the Brent to WTI spread because of that shift. So this is kind of a multi, and this is what the crude hub model shows very well, is you can see this from multiple basins, as multiple basins and the flows on pipelines affect other basins. So in this case, the shrinking, or our call of a narrowing WTI to Brent spread, which the forward curve does model in, if you look at the forward curve, that does narrow in the second half of 19 and early 2020, that will reduce the rail economics or worsen the rail economics for railing out of the Bakken, which means the Bakken has to price itself at a bigger discount than the -$2 you see today. So longer term in the Bakken, you probably need to price yourself in the high single digits at a discount to clear that market with the Brent to TI spread narrowing like it is, until another pipeline comes online and DAPL is able to expand or somebody else is able to expand.
I think Double H, there's an option for Double H to expand, right? But that expansion has not been FID'd.
Has not been FID'd. Nothing public on that one. So yes, that is an option. They have said they can expand via pump stations. The question I would have is is there going to be market support for a project like that when a lot of people want to be on DAPL because DAPL does have better economics? So if you see a DAPL expansion coming in late 2020, do you want to make a five-year commitment to Double H in late 2019? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. So that's the question on that.
And then, I mean, I guess the other point to that, a Double H, is that it would just fill Guernsey, right? So
Guernsey is an area where we circled in our Dirty Little Secrets paper for our outlook for 2019 as an area that could see blowouts at the end of 2019. We backed off that a little bit because you have seen pipelines like Cheyenne flow over nameplate capacity, and they can actually flow more barrels south out of the Powder River / Guernsey area to the DJ, where they can get on pipes to get out. You've also seen Tallgrass talk about expanding and is in the process of expanding Pony Express out of the Guernsey area. So they're pushing that pipeline capacity to 420 for the total pipeline. That takes a lot of pressure off of Guernsey going forward. So certainly Guernsey will still need more capacity as we look into 2020, but by the end of 2019, you're probably okay out of Guernsey.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's say we're right about this basis blowout. We were right last year when we called it for the November blowout. So let's say we're right again this time. If I'm a producer and I have barrels coming out of the ground in the Bakken, what should I be doing?
Yeah, so I think there's an opportunity here for producers because based on what I've seen, not a lot of people are talking about this and not a lot of people are pricing it in. So you may be able to sign up for pipeline capacity to ensure your barrel gets out in late 2019 and through 2020. That's an option for you on some of the pipelines, probably. There's also an option to go to a marketing company and lock in a pretty good spread to WTI or perhaps the Gulf, because there's not a lot of people in our mind pricing this in right now. So you may be able to get a favorable marketing contract out of the Bakken today through 2020 or through whatever time frame you believe will be unconstrained because of a DAPL expansion.
And now if I'm a midstream, like an Enbridge or a big player that has capacity out of the Bakken or is exposed to Bakken basis, what should I be thinking about?
Yeah, so expansions, certainly you can think about that. So a Double H expansion is something Kinder is thinking about and should be thinking about. Push aside the potential headwinds that I mentioned earlier with competing with DAPL. But you could also see things like better recontracting scenarios. If we are full in late 2019, not only do some of those Bakken contracts, five-year contracts roll on Double H, they certainly do late 19, early 20, puts you in a much better recontracting situation for the midstream if we are full out of the Bakken and you see significant differentials there. Also, downstream pipelines are likely to benefit as well. The story is the same with Pony Express, and certainly we model in some cuts on rates there, but they are in a much better position if we're flowing completely maxed out of the Bakken down to Guernsey, and the Guernsey market looks really tight heading into 2020, at which time they're trying to recontract some of those Pony volumes as well. So thinking about that and thinking maybe you hold off on recontracting if people aren't giving you the rates you want, that's certainly an option as we expect the market, both Guernsey and Bakken, to get significantly tighter in the second half of 2019.
Cool, makes sense. Anything else that we need to talk about on the Bakken?
No, I mean, you see prices. Listen, some risks to this call are, it's always possible that somebody can do a quick expansion. A Double H expansion would be very helpful and could avoid some blowouts if they can expand 25 to 30,000 barrels a day out of there relatively quickly. Production declining is a risk. I think that that's unlikely at $62 WTI prices up in the Bakken based on the well results that we're seeing and our production team is seeing. But that is a risk as well. And hey, can DAPL flow over its nameplate capacity? It certainly did if you believe that it wasn't at 570 in Q4, which they said it wasn't, but it flowed about 565, 564. So if pipes can flow over their nameplate capacity, there's a risk that you don't see the type of regional pricing pressure that we're calling for in the second half of 2019.
Perfect. Great. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
As always, if you guys have any questions about this week's episode, shoot us a message at insight@eastdaily.com. And while you're at it, please send us your feedback and any oil and gas questions you might have. You can subscribe to our podcast on several platforms now, as well as our website, eastdaily.com. Please remember that anything you hear on this podcast is not intended to be investment advice, so please do not invest based solely on what you hear on this episode. That's it for now. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
I read an article the other day. It's from this kid who streams on Twitch. He streams just him playing video games. Makes like $50,000 a day.
A day?
Yeah, a day.
Shut up. A day?
A day.
How is that possible?
Because he has so many subscribers. And he has
all he does is play video games.
Yes, that's it. Just plays
Smart kid.
Just plays Fortnite.
Smart kid. What are we doing? Get out of here.